Thank you so much. God bless you. We thank God for what God has been doing since the beginning of this year and where we are at the moment. We thank God because today is the last Sunday in the month of July, and God has been faithful. Since the beginning of this year, we'll be looking at the theme of the year, which we call rebuilding and restoration. And we've listened to many sermons, many messages from different people, from different angles. And in this month alone, we started looking, in the first week, we look at the power to perform, the power to perform. The second week, we look at, but they could not cure him. Bet they could not cure him. And last week, we look at relationship. And we are talking about relationship with God. Relationship with God. Before we go into today's message, I want to read from the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, that will be our text. Genesis chapter 32, we are going to read from verses 22 to the end. Genesis 32, from verse 32 to the end. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two male servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent them over all his possession. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him all till the day break. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God's face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limped because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. By the special grace of God, today, like I've mentioned, we've looked at three topics this month, in the month of July. And today we will be looking at knowing and manifesting who you are. Knowing and manifesting who you are. Knowing and manifesting who you are. We've talked about identity several times in this church, and today I'm not going to be talking about identity. I'm going to be talking about knowing and manifesting. It is important to know who we are, which many of us we call identity. It is important to know who we are as children of God, as Christians. But it is more important to manifest what God said we are. It is important to manifest who we are. It is important for us to manifest what God has called us to be. It is a pity today that many of us, we know who we are in Christ Jesus. We know we are born again. We know that our sins are forgiven. We know we should live a Christian life, a holy life. We know so many things. We know the promises of God in the scripture. Many of us can quote a lot of scripture. This is what God said. This is what God said when it comes to an issue. We know so many things. We know that God has given us power through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ to heal and to deliver. We know that God has given us everything humanly possible, because he promised us, he said, he has given you all things. And when God says all things, he means all things. However, we fail to live and operate in the realm God has placed us. Many a times we fail to live and to operate in the mandate that God has given unto us. And I believe there's none of us in this service that is excluded, including myself. I know what God said I am. I know what he has called me to be. I know what he has said about me. But I find that I have not been able to manifest that mandate. That mandate, I have not been able to fulfill it. And today, I want to challenge every one of us that as we go for the rest of this year, we need to know and to manifest what God has called us to be. Many of us know everything that God said about us. We know that God said he's going to prosper us. We know about prosperity. We know that we are going to take the word of God to the nations of the world. But here we are in our little corner. We know that we are going to be billionaires of our time, according to the word of God. But we have not been able to accomplish what God has destined for our life. And in the process, when we talk about prosperity, you see, we know as Christians that this is what God said about us. And many of us, we try to accomplish this by our own power. Many people try to use different methods to accomplish it. I know a junior brother of mine in those days will just talk about, oh, people are not smart. You need to be smart. As Christian, you need to be smart. And what is this smartness? It's fraud. You need to know a way how to play your card. If you really want to be rich, if you really want to make it. But I believe that true prosperity comes from God. You don't need to seek anybody to be rich. You don't need to defraud anybody to become what God said you are. You don't need to take bribe to be what God said you are. But many a times we try different methods. We try different methods. And I pray that the Lord God of heaven will help us, even as Christians, as we journey on this earth. When we become born again, we need to live a holy life. We need to establish that. You cannot exchange anything for holiness. Righteous living is very important in our Christian life and our Christian walk with God. The Bible says, can we live in sin? And says grace should continue. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. That is not possible. You cannot continue to live in sin and say grace should be multiplied. Many Christians are not like Abraham, who refused to accept anything from the king of Sodom. If we read Genesis chapter 14, when Lot and his people were captured and taken away, Abraham called his men and said, let's pursue these people. Genesis chapter 14, we can read from verse 16 to 23. Time will not permit us to read most of these things. And he called his men and they went. The Bible says they recovered all the goods and brought back his relative Lot and his possession, together with the woman and the other people. And by the time we read further, we find out, maybe we can just read toward the end of that scripture. Let's read verse 22 and 23. Verse 22 and 23. But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, the creator of heaven and earth, and have taken an oath. verse 23, that I will accept nothing belong to you, not even a thread or the tongue of a sandal, so that you will not be able to say, I made Abraham rich. What he was saying here is that no man will contribute to what God has said about me. We remember before this scripture in Genesis chapter 12, which we are going to read, Genesis 1, Genesis 12, 1 to 3. God promised Abraham, the Lord has said to Abraham, leave your country, leave your people and your father's household and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse. All peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. This was the promise of God for Abraham. And Abraham knew this particular promise and he told this king, he said, no, I'm not going to take anything from you. Lest when I take something from you, you come in the future or tomorrow and say, if it is not because of me, you will not be where you are today. He said, God forbid. Many of us, we know what God called us to be, but sometimes we use human wisdom or we want to use human wisdom to get there. But today, I pray that God will open our eyes to see who we are, and we are going to manifest what God wants us to manifest in this year of restoration in the mighty name of Jesus. And this afternoon, we are going to briefly consider two people, if time will permit us. The first person I want to look at is Jacob. We will be considering two cases of people who God has a glorious plan for, but failed to recognize it until they had an encounter with God. Jacob was that man. Right before he was born, and from where we read this after this today, we knew, I mean, we read from that scripture how he had an encounter with God, how he met with God, and what God said about him. His name was Jacob. Jacob is just a single person. Are you getting me? Jacob is just a single person. But what about Israel? Israel is what? Israel is a nation. Many of us, God has called us to be a nation, but we are satisfied to be ordinary one particular person. Many of us, God said, this is what you are going to be. You will go to the nations of the world. I will establish you. You will be employers of labor, but we are satisfied with what we are collecting in our, as a salary in our place of work, including myself. Many of us, God said, I'm going to take you to the nations of the world to preach the gospel, but we are satisfied where we are at the moment. Today, God wants you to know what you have carried, and God wants you to manifest that particular thing that he has deposited inside of you. Jacob was a man that even before he was born, God has said good thing about him. Genesis chapter 25, Genesis 25, verse 23. Genesis 25, 23. The Lord said to her, that is to Rebekah, two nations are in your womb and two peoples from within you. Genesis 25, 23. The Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger and the elder will serve the younger. This was the promise of God for Jacob. Even before he was born to be a nation. Jacob was not born to be Jacob. He was born to be a nation. And this is what we can see from that scripture. But right from when this word was spoken, though we may say Jacob was not born at that time, but we find out as Jacob and Esau as they grew up, Jacob had always tried to help God to fulfill that purpose, that prophetic message that he had. How many prophetic messages have you had since the beginning of the year? Or how many prophetic messages have you had since you gave your life to Christ? How many of them have you tried to help God to fulfill them? We've shared some times ago, I know definitely that God was to take me out of Nigeria at some point, maybe not to stay here. And by the grace of God, I've traveled before I decided to come here. And I remember there was a time I was processing my admission. I've mentioned it as, I think I've shared it some years back. And the first time I applied, my visa was rejected. And somebody was saying, why can't you just put your name and just rearrange it? My name is David Sina Adebayo. He said, you can say Adebayo David Sina. He said, it doesn't really matter. But I said, it matters. And 2 weeks after the first one was rejected, I took the same passport to the embassy. And the man that interviewed me again said, you applied 2 weeks ago. I said, yes. He said, why were you not giving? I said, I don't know. And he said, I'm going to give it to you. So if I had changed my name, what will be my testimony? Just in the process, because I want to get out of Nigeria. And I was not desperate anyway. We should not help God. God knows what he wanted to do in our life. And this is what we can see with Jacob. He wanted to help God to fulfill that prophetic message. He took his brother's birthright. That's the first thing he did. Remember, God said, the elder will serve the younger. To fulfill that purpose, he took his birthright. Genesis 25, 29 to 34. Genesis 25, 29 to 34. The second instance, he took his brother's blessings with the help of his mother, Rebecca. Genesis 27, 27 to 29. That was another instance. Another instance where Jacob wanted to help God. He took his brother's blessings with the help of his mother, Rebecca. Genesis 27, 27 to 29. And after these two incidents, many things happened to Jacob. Jacob was sent away to his mother's brother, Laban, in Aram, because Esau was planning to kill him. That is, was planning to kill Jacob. On his way, he met with God again. He had another encounter with God. And God showed him again what his destiny would be. We can see the mercy of God playing here. And I pray for somebody today that the mercy of God will speak on your behalf in the mighty name of Jesus. Many a times, we do some terrible things. Things that are not, that we're supposed not to do. Maybe by mistake or by whatever we may call it. But the mercy of God has always been there for us. But brethren, like I've said earlier, we must not take the mercy and the grace of God for granted. Don't say because the mercy of God is there, I can do this, I can do that. No. If you don't know, that is fine. God knows the way to deal with it. But willingly, the Bible tells us, if we willingly go back to sin, then there's trouble. There's trouble. Let's read that scripture. Genesis 28, 10 to 17. Genesis 28, 10 to 17. Where God met with him again. Please kindly project it for us. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Aram. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. First, he had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said to him, I am the Lord, the God of your father, Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendant will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. That was the promise of God. And God promised him further. He said, I will be with you. I will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I've promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place. And I was not aware of it. That was another encounter with the Almighty God. God met with Jacob face to face. God told him what is going to happen again. But to my surprise, Jacob did something. It's like these scriptures, what God said was not really inside of him. Jacob's mentality was not changed. And the same thing with us. If we look at Genesis 28 again, Genesis 28, verse 20 to 22, there are so many scriptures because we need to back whatever we say with scriptures. Genesis 28, 20 to 22. Then Jacob made a vow. Remember, we just read Genesis 28, 10 to 17. Then we come where God has promised him that he's going to bless him, he's going to make his descendants to fill the earth. Look at what Jacob said in Genesis 28, 20 to 22. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, If God will be with me, God has already said, I'm going to be with you. But you can see what he's saying here. If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, will give me food to eat and clothes to wear. Can you see the language of Jacob? If God will give me just ordinary food and clothes to wear. This is a man that God said, you will be the father of many nations. Remember the topic, knowing and manifesting what God said you are. Knowing and manifesting what God said you are, or who God said you are. God said so many things about Jacob, but Jacob here is saying, if you will do this, if you will do this, even if you will only give me food and clothes, the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. There we know so many other stories. We know what happened, how Jacob went to Laban and how things began to happen there, and the journey of 7 years become how many years? 14 years to serve, to get two wives. After that, Jacob himself said he served another 6 years for the flock of Jacob, becoming 20 solid years, a journey of 7 years. Became 20 years because Jacob failed to manifest what God said he was at that time. He spent 20 years instead of 7 years. And as I woke up this morning, another message was coming to my mind on this. Do you know what? Jacob's supposed to have only one wife. How many wives did he end up marrying? Four. And God said, which I wrote down, God said, when a man fails to walk in the plans and in the will of God, he will begin to walk in a circle. When a man fails to walk in the will and in the purpose of God, that man will begin to walk in a circle. 7 years became 20 years. Husband of one wife became husband of how many wives? Four wives. Because he failed to walk in the dominion where God has placed him. But thank God, Jacob had an encounter with God. And this is the interesting part of this story. He had an encounter with God. And when he had an encounter with God, he knew that he can no longer bear that name. His name has to be changed from Jacob to Israel. And I pray somebody will have an encounter with God in this service today in the mighty name of Jesus. Briefly, before we close, the second person I want to talk about is Peter. Peter, I have taken one from the book of, from the Old Testament. I want to take another one from the New Testament. Peter, we know much about Peter. Peter and his brother were the first disciples that Jesus called. And God gave them a mandate. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 to 19. Matthew 4, 18 to 19. We can also find the same scripture and the same reference in the book of Luke chapter 5, verse 10 to 11. And Jesus said, and Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said what? Come, follow me. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. This was the promise of God. This is the mandate that God gave to Peter. And Peter witnessed many miracles that Jesus performed. He witnessed many miracles that was done in his own life as well. For example, his mother's in-law was healed. We also know that Peter was the leader among the disciples. With deep revelation in Matthew 16, 13 to 20, when Jesus was saying, who do men say I am? It was Simon Peter that answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. In fact, that's Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, 15 to 16. It was the same Peter with James and John that Jesus took to the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17, 1 to 6. And they saw the glory of God. The same Peter was one of the three disciples that Jesus took to Gethsemane Garden to pray with him in Matthew 26, verse 37. The same Peter. But one day, after the death of Jesus Christ, what happened? The same Peter, the leader among the disciples, told the other disciples, I'm going out to fish. Hallelujah. John chapter 21. I'm going out to fish. And they said, we will go with you. And they follow Peter to fish. And they became again fishers of fish rather than fishers of men. Many of us, God has called us to be fishers of men. We are fishers of fish. We are fishers of our belly. We run after what we are going to get. Whereas God has got a big plan for us. My friend told me something 2 weeks. He said, God gave him a word of wisdom. Said, God said, when you begin to run after money, money will run away from you. And he said, since the day God gave him that message, things have changed in his life. And I know things have changed because I know him very well. Peter, supposed to be fishers of men, he went back to his business again. Jesus has gone. Let's go back to our business. And they went back. Are you in that situation today when things are not working for you and just think, oh, I'm tired. Let me just go back a little bit. Let me just do what I was doing before. After all, nobody's here watching me. God has a good plan for your life. He said, I know the plan that I have for you. And we remember when Jesus met them, this was another encounter. Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, Peter, do you love me more than this? How many times did Jesus ask that question? 3 times. Peter, Peter, do you love me more than this? The second time, Peter, Peter, do you love me more than this? The Bible tells us in the third time, Jesus asked him, Peter, Peter, do you love me more than this? And the Bible says, Peter wept. He said, gee, God, you know better. You know that I love you. Are you here this afternoon? Are you listening to me online? Do you love this Jesus? Do you love him just because of what you are going to get from him? Or you love him genuinely? This is a time we have to beg people to serve God. This is a generation where we have to beg people to serve God, to give to the work of God. If you really love God, we don't need anybody to call us. We don't need anybody to beg us to come to church. We don't need anybody to preach to us about coming to church, about serving God. The question is, do you love God more than what you are doing today? But after this encounter, this is where I'm going to end this, the message. After this encounter, the Bible tells us that Peter's first message, and I was so happy today when I think one of our brothers read from the book of Acts. I think that was Debo when we started earlier in the prayer meeting. Peter's first message drew 3,000 people to the kingdom and they were baptized. That was in Acts 2:14 to the end. Remember what God said to Peter, I will make you fishers of men, not fishers of fish. And in a single sermon, 3,000 people gave their life to Christ Jesus. And I was looking at the message of Peter. I was reading that particular, and I found that there was nothing. It was just story. How God did this, how God did this, how God did this, how God did this. And after that message, because the anointing of God was upon Peter. When the anointing of God is upon your life, we don't have to struggle. When we've carried the anointing that God has already given us, we don't have to struggle the way we are struggling. If we know and we want to manifest it. After this encounter, the second thing that happened in the book of Acts chapter 3 from verses 1 to 9, Peter and John healed a lame beggar at the beautiful gate. That's the second thing that happened, you know, after the day of Pentecost, things began to happen. Number three, after the healing of the lame beggar, Peter's message again, through the help of the Holy Spirit, 5,000 people were added to the church. Acts 4, verse 4. The Bible tells us 5,000, but many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000 people that gave their life to Christ Jesus. We also knew, number four, we also knew what happened in chapter 5 about Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5, verse 3 to 10. And we knew further, number six, Peter's shadow was healing people as they passed by in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 5, verse 15 to 16. I'm going to read that one. Acts 5, 15 to 16. As a result, people brought the sick into the street and laid them on bed and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. And as he passed by, they were healed. That is power. That is the power that God has given to us as Christians. He said, I have given unto you power to cast out demons, to heal the sick. These are the powers that we have as Christians, as men and women of God. It is time for us to know what God has called us to be and to know and to manifest them. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5, verse 15, 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. You are the light, you are the salt of the world. This is what we have. 1 Peter 2:9, he said, we are a peculiar person, a royal priesthood, people of God. This is what God has called us to be. As we arise this afternoon to pray, I just want you to begin to say, Father, I've come unto you. If you cannot, you just want to pray, depend the way you want to pray. If you want to just sit down and pray and talk to God, I want you to cry to God this afternoon and say, Father, I've come unto you. Please help me to fulfill your mandate for my life. Help me to fulfill your mandate for my life. You know it. I will not say to know again, because I know many of us, we know. It's not that we don't know. It is for us to be able to fulfill the mandate of God. To be able to fulfill what God said we are going to do. I want you to pray and say, God, help me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. I want you to pray and say, God, please say after me. Father, Father, the giant in me will not go to the grave with me in the mighty name of Jesus. Open your mouth and talk to God and say, the giant in you, what God has deposited in you, will not go to the grave with you, which means you will not die young. Even when you die at the old age, you would have completed everything that God wants you to complete on earth before you go. I want you to pray and say, Father, the giant in me, those things that you have deposited inside of me, they will not go to the grave with me in the mighty name of Jesus. God wants to make a giant of you if you are interested. God wants to make a giant of you. God wants to help you. I want you to pray again and say, Father, the things you have loaded inside me to bless my world, to bless my generation, they will not go to the grave with me in the name of Jesus. God has loaded, God has deposited so many things inside of us. I want you to pray that those things in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray those things that you have loaded inside of me to bless my world, to bless my generation, will not go to the grave with me in the name of Jesus. Wherever you may be, I want you to cry to God this afternoon and pray that prayer. That Lord, every single thing that you have deposited inside of me, they will not go to the grave with me. Everything that you have deposited inside of me to bless my generation, to take the gospel to the nations of the world, to bless people who are underprivileged, to bless people who are poor, Father, you will help me to fulfill them in the name of Jesus. Many of us, we are not we are not called to be a preacher, I mean international preacher, so to say. But many of us, our money will do a lot in this area. I want you to pray that, Lord, you will help me, that God, that which you have deposited in me to affect my generation, Lord, none will go to the grave with me in the name of Jesus. I just want you to begin to bless the name of God and say, Father, thank you, God. I give you praises. I honor you. I worship you. I magnify you. Thank you for your message. Thank you. Thank you, God. You have spoken to me this afternoon. Help me, Lord. Cry to God. Cry to God. Cry to God in the name of Jesus. Father, we say thank you. I don't just want to close this message, but eventually there's somebody that wants to say, yes, I know God has called me, but I just need somebody to agree with me. If you are in that category, whether you are at home or you are here, please, can you just, if you are able to raise up your hand, and we are going to pray with you. There's anyone that wants to cry to God and say, God, I know you have deposited something in me, and I know I am not where I ought to be, and I know I need your help. Father, just help me. If anybody is in the service, if you are at home, we are just going to pray with you as we end up this service. Father, we thank you for every one of us that on this service, on this line. Father, and those of us in the service, Father, we pray that you will help us to fulfill your mandate for our lives in Jesus' name. All that you have deposited inside of us, Father, we will fulfill them in Jesus' name. Father, as we go this week, Father, you will make us a new person. We will have an encounter with you. Encounter that will touch our world. Encounter that will touch our generation in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We give you praises. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. If we may stand up to share the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. 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 God bless you. Have a blessed week.